of Romans. And we've been in, this is session 24, and we've been in Romans chapter 12. This will be our third week. I'm not sure we'll get through it tonight, maybe. You know, when someone backs in the South, I lived for a time in the South. And I remember when somebody would be preaching, they would, you know, people would say amen. You know, the people that, you know, in the church, the congregants would say amen. But sometimes you'd hear, camp right there. You ever heard that saying? Camp right there. That may, that reminds me, because sometimes I'll be studying and being blessed. I'm telling you what, studying and preparing for this, I feel like I'm the most blessed person. I notice that when I'm studying the Word, getting into the Word and gleaning it, it just softens my heart. You know, the Word of God will make the most hardened person eyes fill and tears just coming down their eyes. It really will. The power of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, will absolutely transform a life. Amen? And so as I was studying there, so as I'm on this first scripture, and I'm going to read it, in my heart, the Lord said, not these words, but you'll understand now, camp right there. So in other words, this one scripture, I just want to kind of expand on it, expound on it. We've talked about it before. We've talked about the love of the brethren. We've talked about the importance of us loving one another. And, you know, you got faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Faith is awesome. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please God, it says. Hope is what anchors us for the future, amen? We're anchored by His Spirit and hope. So faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that coming after that 1 Corinthians 13, that's kind of sandwiched in between the spiritual gifts. Paul's talking about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Then you got the love chapter, and he goes right back into spiritual gifts. But he sandwiches it with that 1 Corinthians 13 to let us know, hey, these things operate, have to operate. The church will only be working power through love. You know, in the world, love is maybe considered weak, depending, right? In the business world, love is definitely considered weak. Being tender-hearted is considered foolishness or what's wrong with you. But yet the Word of God tells us to be tender-hearted. It doesn't mean that guys have to act like girls or girls like men. I'm not saying that. People's idea of what love means today is taken off in an area that doesn't even mean. So being a tender-hearted man doesn't mean that you're not a man. Amen? Being a tender-hearted woman means that doesn't mean you can't be a strong woman. So first thing, the world saying tender-hearted, what tender-hearted means. You know that Romans 12, verse 10, Bill, I'm just going to, right there, says be devoted. Paul, we'll see different scriptures. Paul says be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What type of love? Brotherly love. Amen. Brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. You know, devoted, when it says to be devoted in the King James, it says to be kindly affectioned. It means in the Greek to be kindred, fraternal towards one another. Absolute family. Did you know that when you're born again, that regardless if you attend a church or if you're close to other Christians, you are absolutely part of the family of God. You and I are brothers and sisters with one another. Very powerful. In the Romans 12:10, in the Passion Translation, did you get that one, Bill? Were you able to get that one for me? It says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. It's kind of that attitude of after you. No, I insist, after you. Do you know what I mean? That type of heart, that type of honor and respect for one another, that type of honor and respect that when different people, different backgrounds, different places in the Lord, that resentment or anger and different things doesn't take root and divide people. That's exactly why he keeps saying it, to be tenderhearted, to love one another. Don't let anything get in the way of your love for one another, because once that happens, the enemy can conquer, divide and conquer. 1 Corinthians, who operate powerfully in the spiritual gifts, but what was the big struggle when we talked, when they got together for their communion dinners? It says, when you come together, it says it's for the worse, it's not for the better. It says, when you guys get together, it actually is not a benefit. It's tearing the body apart because of your trying to prove that you're better than one another, or trying to prove what you have that others don't, or getting drunk. They were getting drunk. So he was saying there, hey, your hearts towards one another is actually bringing a division. So as we talk about love again, I know I've done this before, but it was a thing where the Lord says, camp right here. And so, Father, we thank you for the spirit of love in your church. Faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is, Father, we thank you for a revelation, a revealing of your love. I haven't even got to my notes yet, but you know that love being a choice, when, if you're married, you remember when you first met your wife or husband, right? You know the feelings, the things that go with that. And then you know at some point it had to be a choice. It went beyond the physical appearance. It went beyond all the initial feelings. It had to be a choice, right? It did. It, you know, in the body of Christ, taking it that serious, loving one another, it's a choice. Sometimes we're just waiting for it to be a feeling or the Spirit of God to overwhelm us. But you know, it's still a choice. Walking in his love, his forgiveness, his tenderheartedness, it's a choice for you and I. Amen. There's nothing more important on this earth than the church that Jesus shed his blood for, right? For the church. The letters that Paul wrote were to the churches. He said to the church in Philippi, to the church in the Ephesians. So he was, there might have been home churches, but yet he was writing those letters to the church. In the first or the second chapter of Revelations, Jesus talking to the seven churches, amen? Talking to churches, to groups of people. The most powerful thing that God has on this earth, it's amazing, is the church. He only works through the church. It seems weak. It seems like, God, you could have come up with a better idea. Look at this group of people. But yet he glories in using the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Taking a group of people that start out in weakness and growing them in strength together. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So we're thankful for the Lord revealing that, opening our eyes, saying, hey, I choose to walk in that love. I choose to forgive. I choose not to allow myself to be offended because I'm part of a body. I'm not going to allow myself to be used or to be crippled or to be stopped by anything that the enemy would try to put in front of me. Amen. Do you agree with that? Amen. You know, many people hear the words family, and it's like, no, thank you, right? They correlate families, perhaps, what their family looked like. It's really true. A lot of people, that depending on what they, the background they came out of, what they came out of, some people coming out of abuse, some other people coming out of a perfection, or not being able to measure up, and then coming into a body and saying, you call this a family, and they don't realize what's been sown in them their whole life is something that comes up and has bore fruit that says, I can do this on my own. I don't need a family. I don't need a family. But the truth is that for you and I to really grow into what God has for us, if somebody is dealing with emotional trauma and hurt and pain, it'll only truly be healed in a church setting. It'll never be done on your own. I don't care what you do as far as going to counseling. I know it can help. But But the true healing that I've experienced in my life has been under the Word of God and with people of like faith that love Jesus. That's where true healing comes to a heart and a life. People, a lot of times, that separate themselves and will be deceived by the devil, separated, detached from the head, which is Jesus Christ, don't realize it's something in them, a pain, a hurt, a resentment, something so deeply wounded that the enemy is actually operating in that area to deceive them. And I've said it before that many of our false prophets, that false prophets are people that were formerly a part of a church or in a church, became resentful, bitter, and detached themselves, and are now being used by a lying spirit. But when we're walking together, staying together as a body, I don't care, it doesn't have to be a big body, it can be a small body, the enemy can't get in, can't come in and deceive. We'll see that. Amen. Don't you love him? A true family will bring absolute healing and joy, strength, and maturity. That maturity is saying, you know what? I'm learning to deal with you. I love you. And learning how to deal with conflict. Right? You can only learn to become an adult or grow up as dealing with conflict. You see it in children's life, amen? As they grow up, conflict, especially they have siblings or their friends, teaching those individuals how to deal with it. People who've never been taught how to deal with conflict, you can learn in a good body. You can do something that you never could do before. Allow people to be close to you. Allow people to actually be your brother and or sister in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Isaiah 42:3, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, a bent reed he will not break off. This is prophesying about Jesus, as Isaiah did a lot in his book. A bent reed he will not break off, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. A bent reed, a bruised, King James says a bruised reed. Talking about people with bruised emotions, people with bruised hearts, people with wounds. God's saying, hey, I will no wise cast you out. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. So the thing is God can absolutely bring healing to people's hearts. He can set the captive free. Those that are addicts can be set free in Jesus' name. The power of the cross still does that, is doing that, and will always do that. Amen? The power of the message of the love of Jesus Christ will heal the bruised heart, the wounded heart. It's called the balm of Gilead. You ever heard from the Bible, the balm of Gilead? The power of the gospel and the power of the love for one another can do things beyond anything we could imagine. But it starts with, hey, we choose to love one another. We choose to be a part of this, a body, whatever body it is. And Lord, we're not going to let conflict get in our way. Lord, we're not going to allow the enemy to place a foothold. Can't close that door on that. There's a foot there, right? Thank God he can take that door and just break that foot off, the devil's foot, and close that door to the past. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, Jesus spoke on family as well, and thank you for turning that down. I hope you're turning it down. Whew. Jesus on family. He spoke about family. He made an interesting statement in Mark 3:31 through 35. Bill, if you have that. This is Jesus, that it says, then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. Go ahead, Bill. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Verse 33. And answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? 34. Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. 35, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus, who wasn't saying that, hey, I don't, you know, disown my mom. His half-brother James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. The book of Jude, did you know that was his half-brother as well? But Jesus making a point, the Son of God on earth, looking at those around him who believed he was the Son of God, and said, here's my family. Here's the ones that are close to me. Here are the ones that I'm actually going to bring into adoption when I'm raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus saying, hey, this is my family. Amen. You know, family is so important, right? People, we have family where there can be, you think of family where there's broken relationships. We're in a fallen world. You might not see them at Christmas. You may not ever talk to them. They may have died and you didn't speak to them. But you know, in Christ Jesus, when you're a new creation, a lot of times I see you guys more than I see my own family. Nothing wrong with my family, but this family being oh so important to me. When we're together as family, even on Sunday morning when we're worshiping together, did you know people around us are being set free, being encouraged? The power of God is ministering to them long before whoever gets up here and declares the word. The group together, that family, is oh so powerful. It's a healing balm even as we worship together. You know that corporate worship changes a heart. I tell you, corporate worship, when we say, I'm going to worship you, Lord, I'm putting my focus on you, regardless of what's going on around me, changes our hearts. It changes our heart in relation to him, and it changes our heart in relationship to one another. Hey, thank you, Father. 1 John 2, 8 through 11, Bill. This is John. He'd like to say, when he was writing his books, he would say, little children. At this time, being an elder or being older when he wrote these books, wrote these epistles, considering those that he was writing to the churches and homes as, hey, little children, his love for them. So what does the Apostle John have to say about loving one another? So John, 1 John 2, 8 through 11, it says, on verse 8 it says, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you. Who's him in this? This is Jesus. So this is true about Jesus, and it's pertaining to you. So he says, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Darkness is passing away. We haven't seen it completely pass away, but darkness is passing away. You know, there's a day coming, the last day. So we don't know what day it is, that this earth as we know it, there's a last day. There's an expiration date on this world. Then there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. There'll be a new Jerusalem. And who's going to be in the new Jerusalem? It's going to be his church. It's going to be his children occupying this city. Amen. You know, one time, sometimes I'm not one that hears voices or hears the Lord's voices. I don't hear voice, but the Lord's voice like some people do. Maybe through the word, but I was going through Prescott Valley. This was probably like 15 years ago, and they were just doing the downtown area, Prescott Valley. They had that movie theater and restaurants and different things they were building. I mean, before that, Prescott Valley was just nada. Some of you remember that if you've been here long enough, right? Yeah, but as I was driving through, if I was driving by that and looking at it and saying, man, this is turning into a city, the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, I have a city. And he does have a city that you and I are going to be living in forever. It's 1,000 miles square, it says in Revelation, and it's 1,000 miles tall. It's got 12 gates made out of pearl, one single pearl each one. And who do you think is going to dwell in that city? It's his church. Think about it, you and I. The unbeliever's not going to dwell there. God forbid. Only the believer is going to dwell in that city, you and I. Perfect love. Perfect family. Perfect unity. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. May we have that same unity in his body going forward. Amen. It's powerful that you and I dwelling together. Think about that. Who's going to be in that new Jerusalem? The church. Amen. Amen. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, Bill. The one who says that he is in the light and yet hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. He gets pretty strong words here. Verse 10. The one who loves his brother and sister remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause stumbling. Can I say that again? Verse 10. The one who loves his brother and sister remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause stumbling. Amen. That is a powerful statement. Us staying in unity and love with one another, your brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm reading here, it says there's nothing that can cause you to stumble. You think about what can cause people to stumble a lot of times, isn't it? Something with a relationship much of the time. Isn't it always about that? Most of the time. So it's always about something to do with a strain in a relationship. Obviously, we can't control other people, amen? We can only do our best as far as honoring and loving people to the best of our ability. But the Lord said, hey, when you're walking this way, there's nothing that can cause you to stumble. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11, but the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. Thank you that you and I know I'm talking to people that don't walk in hate. But it's a thing that the enemy's always tempting. It starts with an ought, moves to resentment, and if allowed, it goes to actual malice, which means when I hear something bad about that person, I'm like, getting what they deserve, maybe. Malice. Thank you, Lord. God's love brings a forgiving heart. 1 John 3:13-18. He hits it even harder here. John wants to make sure that he's perfectly clear how important it is that we walk in love. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Verse 13, if the world hates you. So don't be surprised the world walks in hate. They hate others. They hate those who they perceive have harmed them or doing something to them that harms them or their family or their career. They hate one another. That's normal in the world, correct? Yes. Verse 13 again. So do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. That's just normal. Verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. Amen. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. Wow. You know, the thing is, he's talking about where hate ends up. Not just an actual murder, it can, but wishing ill upon somebody. Delighting in seeing something bad happen to somebody. Father, in our hearts tonight, as I was preparing for this, I'm saying, Lord, if there's anybody in my heart that I have malice towards, any jealousy, Father God, any anger, resentment, Father, I pray that, Lord, that that would be dissolved. Lord, I curse that in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't want to be blinded by malice. I don't want to be blinded by anything that be a resentment towards somebody that I just live with, and it's just part of my life, Father God, but it kind of constrains me. It ties me up. It binds me up, and I don't even realize it. It could be for decades that you have a resentment or a bitterness towards somebody that is, or an ought that's just been sitting there. It can be past parents, past relatives, past family, a past pastor. Those things that just kind of sit in our hearts, and they just will weigh on us. They'll bring things like a heaviness on us. Because God did not make us to walk in resentment. He made us to walk in absolute perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear of seeing somebody in a grocery store that you don't want to see. Fear of a conversation with somebody that makes you angry. Or you realize that when you think of somebody, boy, I in my heart, I just hope they get what they deserve. eventually. You know, we can do these things without realizing it as born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled Christians. Lord, I pray in our hearts, Lord, that that would be washed and cleansed, that you would expose it with your light, because light is a great disinfectant. Light is a perfect disinfectant. And Lord, we thank you that when light comes into those areas, that that thing dies in Jesus' name. Things that can keep us in anger. Things that can make us explosive in anger. Things that can bring depression on our lives that has been there many years. Father, we thank you by the revelation of the Holy Ghost in your body this time, and at this time in your church, Lord, that those things are dealt with in Jesus' name and let go of. He will in no wise way cast off a bruised reed. You know, many times what people have done, I'm not making excuses or saying it was okay what they did. But sometimes those things can leave a woundedness. You know, the way a child is raised can affect their whole life. People want to say, oh no, just get over it. I'm sorry. You know, how does growing up affect, how can it affect us? Well, I look at it this way. If you were born and raised in Mississippi, and I live there, so I have a heart for, love that area, Mississippi. A little bit humid. But if you have someone, let's say, that's just 10 years old, born and raised in Mississippi, you take that kid out of Mississippi, try to take that twang out of him, right? But being my age, if I go to Mississippi, I'm most likely not going to talk like a Mississippian. How we're raised sticks with us. That can do something. So when we look back and people say, well, I have a right to hold a resentment towards this person, or this was done to me and I got a right to hold that, or you don't know what happened. I'm not making any excuses there, but I'm saying that that holds people in bondage. Lord, that we would be saying, Lord, I forgive that person. Lord, I'm not going to allow that to hold me back. Lord, I'm not going to allow things that have happened that have caused anger, unforgiveness, bitterness in my life to hold me back so that it affects every other relationship, including and foremost in church. Carrying it into church. Do you love him? Camp right there. As I read that scripture, the Lord said, go down this vein. I don't want my children holding any aught. Or sometimes we can hold aught in our hearts. We might not even admit it towards God. Where's my healing, God? Lord, you didn't save that marriage. You didn't help me during this time. Or God, where are you regarding my children? We can actually start forming a little bit of a resentment or an anger towards God. You know what? It's not over till it's over. Regarding family members, children, amen. It's not over till it's over. Father, we can trust you with those things, and I would say just trust him and don't allow yourself to get resentful towards God. You let me down. He didn't let us down. He's actually been with us through it all. I said he's been with us through it all. I sometimes wonder, if I lived a perfect life, Lord, would I have served you? Would I have come to you? But you know, a lot of the things that were deeply wounded in my life brought me to him. He will in no way cast out a bruised reed. Father, we thank you for that tonight. Lord, as we go on our jobs, as we're people we come in contact with, we come across so many people that are wounded, that are bruised, called addicts. They're called angry people. They're called excellers. I got to get to the top. Somehow, if my bank account's big enough, there's something out there that can take care of this aching in my soul. Father, we thank you that as whole people, healed people, the people that we can actually help people and say, follow me. Let me show you how to get out of that. Knowing for a fact that he can heal the wounded, that he can heal the physical sick and the emotional sick, people whose minds are twisted and wrapped up in things through life, where the enemy's got them bound through things that have happened in their lives. It was interesting. I go to this, it's called Mat Force. Anybody ever heard of Mat Force? They're a political group that tries to keep drugs illegal. They're a great organization. And they did this, I don't know what doctors, but they did this study. And it was amazing that they talked about or those who were addicts or who were in addiction, how often this correlated was how many wounds or they called them traumas, how many traumas they had in their lives. They had based that the amount of traumas an individual had in their lives made them much more susceptible to addiction, to try to numb the pain, try to numb that wound. And then I think, you know, and then you got these addiction centers, but if you don't have the gospel, how are you going to get truly healed? But if when you give them Jesus and says, hey, you've got a purpose, purpose will bring people out of things. Purpose will bring people out of things. But if you're just trying your best not to go back to the path you came down, but you don't have purpose or the healing balm of Gilead, it just doesn't happen. Father, we thank you for the people in your church becoming healed in Jesus' name. Lord, that we're not touchy, that we're loving and kind, that we don't take offense, that we can push those things off and walk in love and say, hey, I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm healed and well in my heart. I'm not going to allow that to bother me. I'm not going to allow the enemy to speak to me in this way anymore that's twisting my mind and making me think wrong when certain situations arise in my life. Then as you hear his word, as you're with a body of believers that love him, these situations will start arising, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm not responding like I used to. That doesn't have a hold on me like it used to. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened. I just know that I'm free from that. You know, it's the truth of his love, the truth of the word I'm declaring right now that sets a person free. You should know the truth. The truth though sets you free doesn't mean just give your heart to Jesus. There's so much more of that as we grow in him. Part of that is loving his body, loving his church. Amen. Where was I, Bill? Verse 15, everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Amen, Father. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17, but whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let's not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Reminds me in the book of James, where he says, hey, operate in the royal law of love. He says, how can, when you see somebody who's in need, you don't give to them? See, what that situation was there was they were saying, hey, what did you do in your life that you got yourself here? You know, what did you do to get yourself here? As believers, we're not to do that, because we've all done things to get ourselves in situations. Amen? Aren't you glad that God was kind and considerate and forgiving towards us? Lord, that we would be the same towards other people. I just want to read a few more scriptures as we wrap it up, and I just want to show you how much Paul preached upon this love of one another. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. I'm going to read these quickly. Are you sticking with me? You still out there? Yeah. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Who? You and I of the same mind. Maintaining the same love. What kind of love? The same love. United in spirit, intent on one purpose. Amen. a representative of Jesus Christ until he comes again. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And I want to tell you, as I'm speaking this tonight, I'm not saying because I have observed anything. I'm just telling you that when I read that first scripture, Romans 12, verse 10, the Lord said, camp right there. Right there. Love for one another in the body of Christ. Allowing the Lord to, his love, to heal hearts. Amen. Religion will not heal hearts. Religion says, I just need you to act this way, please. Line up. Do this. Get your list out. Do it. But it has absolutely nothing to do with changing a heart. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. 14. And in addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Amen. One more. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Peter says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. Amen. Amen. Can we stand up together? Whew, we got through the heat here. Amen. If you're able, do you love him tonight, Father? Amen, Father. Just once again, Lord, we thank you for the power of love. Lord, the power of love in every relationship, in your marriage, with your children, with family, and with this family, the family of God, amen? Lord, we thank you for love that melts hearts. We thank you as people come into churches that understand love, Lord, that hard hearts will be melted by the power of love. The power of love, Father God. We thank you for melting hearts. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, Lord. We thank you for ministering to us by your word tonight. How we love you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Amen.